Hey, welcome to Fast Break Breakfast. We're back after taking the holidays off. We took 1 week off on purpose, and then we were a little delayed due to forces beyond our control, but we're excited. We've had breakfast. I'm Keith, sitting here as always with John and Chuck. Fellas, how's it going?
My name is John Burr, and I had Guinness for breakfast.
That is the way. Breakfast at Champions.
It was a soccer thing, a football thing.
That's good.
Gorgeous. Champions League.
Chuck, how are you? Did you have breakfast?
Yeah, I did. Sonic.
Okay.
Holler at a little sausage burrito, a little breakfast burrito with
hot
egg
sauce?
And cheese, a little picante, sauce.
I like that.
Oh, you mean the vaunted tomatoes and onions from Unsanctioned Farmers?
Yes. This is all probably knowledgeable if you chose to look into it, but I, however, choose to remain ignorant on the whereabouts of how they
I like how
that.
You're never going to stop taking guff for eating fast food every day for breakfast, but you're never going to stop eating fast food
no,
for breakfast.
I won't ever.
You live your life, Chuck.
Look, you only live once with heart problems.
That's true. I had a homemade hash, some potatoes and some eggs, some bacon.
Good.
It was delicious.
That sounds great.
It was, yeah, the wife made it. It was as good. It took me back to time like visiting Portland where they just eat hash in all their little brunch around the clock diners.
Yeah, hash is a big deal. Something in a cast iron skillet, cast iron skillet. People love it.
One of my favorite things about hash is there's always a mystery ingredient.
You can't have one.
You're not quite sure what went into that hash.
Yeah.
But it makes it just a little bit better.
Just savory.
Right.
There's just...
Since we took a couple weeks off, we also wanted to bring people a little back up to date. And some people have said they maybe... They have trouble visualizing us and separating us. So just for those late arrivers to the podcast, we're going to kind of reacquaint you with ourselves. My name's Keith Parrish. On Twitter, that's at Roy Ira. And when I play basketball, I'm kind of a wild man playing defense, fouling people. I normally guard the best white player. So that's kind of...
And
6'4", sorry, 6'4", about 170.
Gangly.
Gangly man.
Yeah, I categorize Keith as a... poor man's more myopic Kurt Rambis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've grown my hair out pretty long this year, so I look like a Luigi DeTome or a Charlie Whitehurst if we cross over our sports.
Yeah.
Don't cross the streams, Ray.
Don't cross the streams.
I'm John Burr, at Master John Burr, as I am the only one who's currently unmarried. Chuck might, I don't know, we'll get to Chuck in a moment. I'm a 6 foot tall.
It's complicated.
Point four. Chuck's marriage status is complicated. Point forward, I'm the best rebounder when there aren't tall players on the court.
Imagine Bruce Valanche with less testosterone.
Right. I basically, depending on the day of the week, look like a different Golden Girl each week.
Mm-hmm.
Just depends on, how much I had to drink the night before, if I took my,
And how wide your lapels are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Today I'm going to go, I'm definitely a Sophia. I'm kind of small and homely. Mm-hmm. But usually I'm mostly Blanche. Or on the court, I like to think of myself as Dorothy. B. Arthur.
Yeah.
Only my isn't quite as big as B. Arthur's. Chuck, how would you describe your game since you haven't played basketball in like 17 years?
I think the last time I played basketball was 2010. And I was terrible at it. I was once a... 11-point a game scorer in eighth grade basketball.
Yeah. Not bad.
You seem like you could set a pretty mean pick.
What you
you're an intimidating
don't know
Matt Geiger looking
fellow. I have incredible handle.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. Even to this day, you guys probably couldn't get the ball from me, but I'll never make it in the hoop.
Like a Stan Van Gundy esque.
Yeah. If you look at me,
Michael Carter Williams, if you will.
No, I have the Stan Van Gundy, dribble penetration kind of.
Nice.
Ability.
So penetration, nice. Dribble penetration.
So, yeah. So, I kind of look like, Stone Cold Steve Austin's drunk nephew.
You look racist.
I do.
And also, to bring everyone up to speed, you, unlike John and I, you're from Miami.
Yeah.
And that's why you're a Heat fan.
Yeah. I'm only here because a woman that I don't like had a baby that I love. And now... I live in Nashville.
So. Yeah, and John and I are ish from Nashville area,
Keith's from Nashville. I used to be a Hawks fan, but it's those days are over. I'm a Grizz lifer
now. Yeah, so yeah, we're both Grizzlies fans. Anyway, all right, so we start every week, except for 2 weeks ago when I forgot, with our breakfast in bed apologies. This is a chance for us to make amends with something we maybe got incorrect in previous episodes. So yeah, does anyone want to start with an apology?
Keith, I'd like to hear from you first.
I have
this week
one dear on my heart. I've made some, I don't know, just some negative remarks about our own our formerly owned Lionel Hollins.
You carry some baggage about Lionel.
Well,
Hollins.
Lionel Hollins was our prickly bear for a while, as Grizz fans, and I believe I besmirched him a few times in regards to the Nets and how poor they're doing. But the Nets are playing really well right now. Although Lionel has, I believe, broken Mirza Teletovic. That guy got his first ever DMP coach's decision, but he's
Teletubby. No.
Yeah, he has Deron Williams coming off the bench, Brook Lopez coming off the bench, Mason Plumlee's playing great, and they're winning some games in the East. And so, yeah, my apology, Lionel Hollins, you might be doing a good job. How's that?
Mm-hmm. Well, anytime you make the decision that perhaps Deron Williams isn't worth the effort, you've made the right decision.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to trade him and you don't want him to get injured, just play Jarrett Jack.
Yeah.
And he's lit a fire under Brook Lopez as of late by just making him come off the bench.
Yeah, and it's working really well.
It's a win-win.
We don't know how sustainable it'll be, but they're winning some games. It looks sketchy, like they might not even make the playoffs in the abysmal East, but it looks like they're going to be all right there.
Plumlee's doing things.
Yeah.
You know, not scoring things, but the other things. The equally important things.
He's making Coach K proud.
You ain't lying.
Anybody else have an apology?
Chuck, what have you?
No, I'm perfect. I don't ever make a mistake, so... maybe Chris Kamen. I don't know. You're okay.
I've already done that.
All right, fine.
Chuck is refusing to apologize.
Oh, whatever. It don't matter. I'm pretty infallible when it comes to this show, so everything I've ever said has been correct.
Agree to disagree. And now I kind of know what to do, because I was going to apologize to Chuck, but I can't apologize to Chuck now.
Why not?
After he said that.
Not after that.
After that attitude. Oh, why don't you go ahead? Why don't you be the bigger man?
Look.
No, I'm not going to do it, Chuck. Okay. I'm not going to apologize to you. Instead, I'm going to apologize to Keith. A few weeks ago, Keith said that the playoff matchups were pretty much set in stone, and I think in 7 of 8 spots on each side, he's about right.
I'm not saying the matchups, the teams.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying the top eight.
We already knew the top eight were getting in, not counting the Thunder. I think the Thunder is going to get in.
With apologies to Chuck, the Heat are probably going to drop out in the East and making room for a
possible. What is that? What kind of apology is that?
Oh, it's a half-hearted, perhaps facetious apology.
You know what I call it? Bullsh.
Uh-oh.
Oh. Chuck, you seem scorned?
Hey.
A little scorned.
Look, what I don't know...
I had to text you that the Magic were coming for you the other day.
What really bothers me with all this is how we've been recording this podcast for, 8 minutes? And we haven't even once celebrated the Heat's victory.
Probably because it was,
Cavs.
It was immediately followed by 3 losses.
Hey,
well
you would have that hangover too. And by the way, the Cavs have also gone 0-3 since then. So
those strip clubs probably were filled with Heat players.
The Heat are terrible at home, and it's because of the strip clubs.
So this sounds like a good time, maybe, for a segment that we really enjoy. And this is a new edition. This is a scorned Heat fan texts a friend. Christmas Day LeBron tribute video edition.
Are you watching this?
You bet I am. What is wrong with Heat fans? Boo that man!
I don't even know my people anymore. I don't know. LeBron is the high school girlfriend that broke your heart when she chose to go out of state for college, then comes back, you see her at Christmas, while you cursed her name violently when she was mentioned, you finally see her, and your heart melts. It makes your buddy Steve's house party so much better. Then you see her, and say, "Hey, hon, you look great." It's my only explanation.
I hate to tell you this, Chuck, but your high school girlfriend
as hair plugs.
And there you have it. A scorned Heat fan texts a friend. LeBron tribute video Christmas Day edition. These are actual texts from Chuck. And in this case, from Chuck to John and Keith, because I was in on that conversation.
He was.
And so these are actual texts of what it's like to be a scorned Miami Heat fan.
I didn't know what was going on. I'm glad the people of Miami, really what that was it was a fantastic job of manipulation by the by the Miami Heat organization.
We're in an age of the video tribute.
We are.
We had the Vince Carter video tribute while he's still playing.
Right.
Like, wait a year.
Boo that man.
Boo that man. He quit on your nation. Right. Although some Raptors fans argue that without Vince Carter, there would be no Canadian basketball, which is possible.
They could have.
Because no one was going up there.
Yeah, and the...
the Raptors could have. It could be the Oklahoma City Raptors.
Yeah, seriously.
They might at least have fossils.
Luminaries such as Anthony Bennett have cited him as the reason.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Anthony Bennett got a video tribute on his return.
Yeah, that would have been great.
No, but then Rondo, just a couple of days.
Last night.
Rondo
had a monster game.
Had a monster game and got the video tribute while he's still playing.
Right. Well, I don't get that. Yeah, it should be booed.
He hadn't played defense in years, he announced.
He quit on your team and now is actually playing efficient basketball.
Boo earns.
But yeah, I don't know. It bothers me. What really bothers me is that we gave LeBron a video tribute and not James Jones. It should have like the James Jones video tribute should have just been like a shot of him shooting out of a basketball rack from corner three
with warm-ups on.
Yeah, with warm-ups on and like the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme song playing.
I'm going to get meta and reveal that was an actual text sent from Chuck to Keith.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Recycling the material.
So that was, I think that's how we wrapped our apologies. Our apologies dived into a scorned Heat fan text.
Chuck workshopped that one.
Yeah. And so now we're out of that. So now, what are the, what's the best thing? We saw this last week. What we call it the steak and eggs best thing. John, you got one?
Jared Dudley.
Oh, I know you're talking about.
I can't even call it a Jared Dudley throwback game because it was Jared Dudley's never done this before. Did Jared Dudley even do this in college?
No one's ever done this before.
This was bonkers. Can you enlighten the fans further, Keith, or do I need to give the
line? I don't have the numbers. It was 10 for 10, 4 for 4 from downtown.
Yes.
I think that was the first time anyone's gone 10 for 10 with 4 three-pointers.
It was bonkers.
Or gone 100% with,
It was like he possessed all of the different pieces of the Bucks lineup, and it was like he was Bucks Voltron.
And remember, here's a first rounder. Please take Jared Dudley off our hands, Jared Dudley.
Yeah, this was a gift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This was if you'll just do it, I'll take it.
No, that's a good one.
I love it because I've always loved Jared Dudley's Twitter account, and I've always loved that Jared Dudley is like the master of the like slow, unathletic guy, but he will box you out to death.
Yeah, he's a good player. Or he was a good player, and then he wasn't a good player, and now who knows?
He was underrated, then overrated, and then horribly overrated, and now back to maybe
and
underrated?
Then unloaded with a first-round pick.
So maybe properly
there's
rated.
There's that.
I thought he was going to be the piece in the Clippers team.
I thought he was
going
to be a great pickup.
Yeah,
he was a guy I wish the Grizzlies would sign.
Yeah, I thought that was like a Shane Battier kind of pickup for him.
An outside shooter. Yeah. He's a smart player.
He's smart and can fill some roles.
He did not fit in.
My best of the week is one... it happened on December 25th.
Christmas Day?
It was on Christmas Day.
Was it related
Day.
To the Heat?
It was related to the Heat.
Some people get frankincense. Some people get myrrh. This little baby got a Heat victory.
I did. Ba-rumpa pum pum. And they played their drum for me. And look, you know, I want to give a shout out and say the, you know, James Jones, 4 minutes, zero shots. really made me feel good. That this guy left the greatest city to play basketball in outside of LA or New York in America.
Greatest city, Miami. Hmm.
I mean, as far as like winter goes and like the season.
If you're a young rich person,
you want to live in Miami.
There may be no winter, but there's plenty of snow.
There is.
If you can smell what I'm cooking.
So Yeah, like he left Miami where he's from. His family is there.
Yeah.
He went to Cleveland to play no minutes ever. And to me, on a team that's stinky, that's a stinky team. That team isn't good.
I thought that might just be your best. The Cavs are...
They're bad.
Horrific.
They're not playing very well at all.
They are effectively the New York Knicks without LeBron James. From a efficiency plus minus standpoint, they are the New York Knicks.
I wouldn't say that.
Until you decided to
With
pass,
actual numbers?
These are the actual numbers.
Until you decided to pass on Breakfast in Bed, my apologies were going to be to Danny Granger. Or as Chuck spells it via text, G-R-A-I-N. G-E-R, Granger, from way downtown.
Because he's raining threes on your ass.
He was 4 for 5in this game.
He had a couple 5 for 5 games.
And this was kind of the beginning. This is the beginning of Granger's sudden, you know, like, plus 20 minutes plus
How long will this Granger competency streak go?
Until he falls down a flight of stairs a la Glassman from Unbreakable.
Possible. He's old, so that, you know, it might not be sustainable.
Yeah.
Regardless, it doesn't matter because our whole complement of players isn't going to be there the whole season.
That's true.
So unless we're trying to move something or get, you know, make some playoff trade stuff happen, the team's going to be eighth or ninth in the East, and it's going to be a sad, terrible year.
My best of the week is I don't normally do this because we're a podcast, but I retweeted this. I hope you've seen this Vine. My best of the week was Lance Stephenson blowing over Jameis Winston and the referee from that college football game.
GIF of the year.
It cracked me up to no end. I know a lot of our fans don't watch college football because it's boring.
You're crossing the streams a lot today.
I'm crossing the streams, Ray. But I was watching that game, and man, that the GIF or the Vine of the Lance coming in and blowing, because I don't know why Jameis fell over backwards. That killed me. I watched it 100 times, the loop, and I just couldn't stop laughing. It was really funny. Anyway, my worst. Those were our steak and eggs bests of the week. Our worst of the week. Our cream of wheat worst of the week. Mine occurred on Friday night at the end. And I wasn't sure if this was my best or worst. It could have gone either way, but I loved it. The end of the Lakers-Grizzlies game, the Grizzlies took possession with 24.2 seconds left on the clock, and they were winning by one. Byron Scott says, no foul. There was a moment...
You ever been to the zoo?
Yeah, exactly. You ever seen the monkeys and gorillas? Yeah.
You ever see giraffe?
Yeah, so Kobe Bryant is yelling at Jeremy Lin to foul, and then finally Kobe has to run up and foul him. There was 5 seconds...
Jeremy Harvard man, Lynn.
There was 5 seconds where I thought the Grizzlies were going to win a one-point basketball game because they were going to dribble out the last 24 seconds of the game with every dumb Laker just standing there not doing anything. Like I'm telling you, there was 5 seconds where I was like, this is going to happen. Like, two things are going to happen. Either one, Mike Conley's going to hold the ball until 0.2 seconds left and turn it over. Or two, they're going to shoot one, and at the end, the buzzer's going to go off, and then Byron Scott's going to come on the court and be yelling at the refs and pointing at the coach, pointing at the scoreboard, like, we got 2 tenths or something. Oh, Byron Scott claims he was telling Jeremy Lin to wait until about 10 seconds were left, which
that doesn't make any sense either.
Pure idiocy. You're losing the basketball game. You have to go ahead and foul and take your chances to get ahead.
Yeah.
He said he didn't think it would matter. He knew they were going to get a shot. He's saying, in effect, I was fine with us getting one shot to try to tie it or win. That's idiotic. It was the worst thing I saw.
Swaggy P went to USC. Probably not the best school as far as academics. Probably fairly good. I mean, all these schools are pretty good.
Really good in film
studies. Jordan Hill.
Yeah, so I was thinking.
Yeah, I applied there. Did not get in. Jordan Hill, you know, Arizona, probably not the best. But then it gets worse. Ed Davis, that's North Carolina. I guess
North Carolina kids don't go to the classes.
Since he's Roy Williams.
I believe we have documentation, right?
Since he's a Roy Williams kid, he didn't go to class.
Yeah.
But this is very damning. Kobe Bryant's Chicago high school education is apparently better than Jeremy Lin's Harvard education. Because that was truly, truly embarrassing, emasculating, everything. And the whole way Kobe handled it, you can scream him yelling foul.
It's so funny.
At everyone, from the moment that the ball
it's
is inbound,
so funny.
As soon as he crosses half court, he runs up and does it himself.
It is the most, everyone, No one except for Byron Scott, who also doesn't like three-pointers. He is the only coach, apparently. Everyone is unanimously in agreement. When you're down by one with 24 seconds left, you foul immediately. I've never heard a line of reasoning for why you wouldn't do that.
Like, even Lionel Hollins.
You might try to trap in a corner. You do have 24 seconds left, so you can attempt to play defense and get a steal.
Right.
They were not playing for a steal. They were not trapping.
Right.
They were standing there. It was hilarious. I really thought the Grizzlies were going to win, dribbling out the clock.
Was anyone following Haralabob during this?
Haralabob didn't say anything.
Maybe he had an aneurysm and died.
He could have. He didn't say hardly anything, say anything about it. That was my worst.
Well, Jeremy Lin also basically said he told Byron Scott, I want to foul, and Byron Scott said, don't foul.
Oh,
they're saying, no, Byron Scott told them not to foul, and I guess he
right.
felt
he was like,
intimidated.
He said it, he's like five times and then laughed about it in the post-game interview.
Strange,
yeah, so
man.
Like, yeah, I don't know, man. That whole outfit is completely tore up.
Can I piggyback for
yeah,
worst
so what's,
of the week?
What's your worst, John?
Byron Scott lives in my cream of wheat. He's drowning in my cream of wheat. Pro Basketball Talk headline from today. Byron Scott wants Kobe Bryant to shoot more.
I saw that. He said he wants Kobe to look for a shot, right?
I'm going to paraphrase his interview. I'd like to be a little more aggressive and take a little bit more shots.
Mama said.
You ever been to the zoo? He's just taking what the defenses are giving him. That's what great players do. You ever see giraffes? The last two games, his shot selection has been great. You ever see the monkeys? But he hasn't gotten the number of shots we'd like to get him on a normal basis.
Rhinoceros is incredible.
You ever see the boa constrictor?
They're looking back at you.
But everything else has been up to him.
That's we.
And you can't argue with that. You ever been to the zoo?
This is also, it should be noted that just nary a week ago, while we were on our Christmas vacay, Kobe went 8 for 30 in a game.
Ugh.
Single-handedly lost a game.
Nine turnovers. More turnovers than shots made.
That's good.
While missing.
Is that your worst? Or do you have another worst?
No, I have way worse.
Oh, what's your worst, Chuck?
My dog Reggie Evans. So, of course,
we're gonna be seeing for him later. I think
we had Tyrone Corbin implementing unknowingly the 4-on-5 cherry pick defense. That
he didn't. He
the
didn't.
Owner Vivek Rendavadiv wanted to,
shout out at Vivek
Stauskas.
Vivek does not respond to my tweets, but it makes me nervous every time I do it. He probably because he can just shut me down.
He
like not a true oligarch. No.
So in the middle of a play, Reggie Evans feels like he's been called to the bench to sit down. And he was, but the player that was supposed to take him out hadn't checked in yet, leaving the Nets or the Kings with four players on the court. He then jumps up after a quick miss by the Nets, showing their wonderful court presence. Jacking up, I think, was a 20-foot jumper with five on four.
But that wasn't Lionel Hollins' fault, because I apologized to him.
Yeah, no, he cannot be wrong since he has been absolved of his sins. Yeah, they end up missing, long pass. Reggie gets off the bench and then dunks the basketball. That is the greatest worst thing I've ever seen.
He missed the dunk.
He missed the dunk.
That's the joke.
He missed the dunk without being ever. Yeah,
Chuck.
It was a while back.
Quote Robert De Niro and Copland. You blew it.
And technically, what Reggie Evans did, that's not legal. You can't leave the court to play and then come back.
That's not legal in any sport.
Yeah, it is not.
You can't go out of bounds.
So if that was Vivek's 4-on-5 strategy, they need to tell him that. I mean, although it worked.
Unless the cornerback pushed him out of bounds, he can't come back in.
Yeah.
Ironically, I also blew the end of that segment. So Reggie and I are kindred spirits.
All right. And so those are our cream of wheat worst of week. Those are some we had a lot of material this whole week.
Man, it could have gone weeks.
Two weeks of stuff. So I want to go and get the since it's been 2 weeks, I want to go and get the awards segment out of the way.
Mm-hmm. ISOP.
Our International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award. Oh yeah, on Twitter, you can hashtag that with the ISHOP.
I shop.
Oh, we'll find it. We'll find it.
Hashtag iShop.
FBBF iShop. We'll find those.
We're there.
Because I realize writing that whole title takes up all your characters.
You can even reverse hashtag it. You can iShop, then put the pound sign.
Yeah. All right, so
that won't show up on Twitter.
So since we've had a couple weeks off, we're going to name two winners, and I'm sorry to say,
let's do week one.
We're not even going to know. Well, the two are so good,
and they're both from the second week.
There's no argument, really,
and they're from the second half.
Yeah, yes. They're both from the second half. I will say some nominees, some honorable mentions. Honorable mention not receiving awards are Kobe Bryant's horrible game. It doesn't really necessarily follow. But he was 8 for 30.
It's never happened.
Turnovers.
It's never happened.
It might have happened.
9 turnovers on that many.
But he did eke percentage. Out. I haven't checked the numbers, so I can't refute. It, okay. It might have never happened.
You're right, I should have.
He did eke out some points. All right, so our honorable mentions are two players, teammates from the same game. They are Sacramento Kings.
I feel like I know where this is going.
They are no longer coached by Mike Malone. That could have been my worst thing, too. That's the worst front office move ever.
We got to miss all that. I feel like we got to talk about that right before we left. No?
We did. We talked about them firing Malone right before.
This is the Corbinian dynasty.
So now, in the same game, DeMarcus Cousins, he got ejected from this game. For body slamming Marcus Smart to the ground, which in his defense,
Marcus Smart was effing with him.
He was getting trolled by the referees.
Right.
And this also goes back to one of my things I say about, you know, like James Harden, like throwing himself into people.
Right.
If you're playing at the YMCA and Marcus Smart runs that hard into Marcus Cousins when he's setting a screen, ooh, there will be words. Mm-hmm. Like that's a thing.
Somebody's going to go get their AK.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a thing where a referee has to call a foul on that. So anyway, Marcus Smart slams into Marcus Cousins. And then boxes him out on the exact same play, like throws his hip into him in a box out, and DeMarcus lost it, threw him to the ground. But his stats, you say, what are his box score?
Let's see
numbers.
It.
Before getting thrown out, he was 5 for 17 for 11 points. Meanwhile, Rudy
had some boards in that game.
Yeah, though. Yeah, he
got 11 boards.
He's an honorable mention.
Yeah,
that's really
but before
bad.
Getting, but he is their best player getting thrown out.
Yeah,
and shooting 5 for 17. Rudy Gay, who did not get thrown out, was 4 for 19. For 9 points. That's not efficient.
I'm so used to that stat line that it has no effect on
me. So those Kobe and those two Kings are our honorable mentions. Our two winners.
I didn't blink. I nodded solemnly.
Our two winners for the last week are this man who needs to step up because his running buddy is out now. Trey Burke, who does not who does not shoot well. He was 2 for 19.
Oof.
With a... I'd say spotless 0 for 11 from downtown.
Oh.
That's the one silver lining from the Alec Burks injury.
Eight points.
Is now that there's only one horrific shooter left on the Jazz.
Yeah. Burke.
So, the Jazz are losing shooting guards because D-League call-up Patrick Christopher got injured. So now my ball's in your court, Ian Clark.
I don't know. Dante Exum, D-sex him.
Yeah, well, he could. He could. One winner is Trey Burke, and our second winner... who was only one of 6 people in NBA history to accomplish this feat, Michael Carter-Williams.
Ugh. Oh, yeah.
2 for 20. No, I'm going to say it one more time. 2 for 20.
But he's got length.
6. He does.
Wingspan.
He has a wingspan. 6 turnovers, too. That's, So he's one of, six players ever to shoot 10% or worse while attempting 20 shots. That only goes back to 1985.
Did the listener notice
basketball that, reference, by the way. Thank you.
That since numbers. We didn't, since Chuck and I besmirched Bradley Beal's historically poor performance, that Keith's not even letting us vote anymore.
No, he's just choosing them.
Well, honestly,
he's like, oh, that. No, you know what happens is Keith puts this time in, he scrubs these box scores and he finds them, and then we come in here and he has his winner. He's got biases. He's a human, and then we poop all over with our snap judgments and no thought.
Dago mustache.
Your pre-existing biases.
He doesn't want any of that. He wants the data to speak for itself. So he now does this with the research.
With your liberal bias.
6 times since 1985. He's going to be. That's your thing. Just tell us who wins from now on. I'm going to vote.
I will say.
This is going to be our smoke break, and I don't even smoke.
The voting will return. In the last 2 weeks, there really, you know, a bunch of 5 for 17s and such. There really weren't any of those spectacular games outside of those two monstrosities, which were Trey Burke and Michael Carter-Williams, who joined the pantheon of other horrible games in joining and being an International Stackhouse of Pancake award winner.
I still feel like, although he only has, I think he's only appeared once, he's only won one award. It's important to note that Kobe Bryant is ahead in field goal attempts by 37 with 640, yet you have to go down to the 13th most field goals to find his field goal.
It was right before Christmas where Kobe Bryant single-handedly lost two games. It was the 8 for 30, 9 turnover game, and then the 3 for 15, taking the final shot when no one wanted him to, after which Jeremy Lin said, I get it. I'd like to take a final shot, too. They're fun, or something to that effect.
And, hey, Kobe had a wide-open look at the end of the Grizz game last night, 4-3. Brixkums.
Well, we're not talking the
Dante
last.
Dante Brixkums.
The last.
He doesn't have his legs.
The last one was tough. The 0.6 of a second?
Yeah.
That was tough.
And he got a good look.
Yeah, it was nice.
But, hey, that's another missed shot.
It's true.
Just keep firing up your loud, Kobe. Take another shot.
And now for some scattered, covered, smothered thoughts presented by Waffle House. Just the other generalized observations of the last couple weeks. What have we seen?
Who let the Bucks out?
Loud. Wait, I think we just redlined. That's it. What do you mean? Just the Bucks playing well?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they've been at 500 almost all year.
Yeah, but they continued at 500 even against the West.
You almost could have apologized to them.
I thought about it.
Yeah. No, they play good defense. You don't know what you're going to get from their offense on a game to game.
I think their injuries have been exceptional in their success. John Henson is playing again, one of my favorite guys who doesn't get time. I mean, the Bucks are fun.
I mean, I think they definitely would be better if Jabari was still developing because I felt like he was on a mild uptick. I have no stats to back that up.
Yeah, I completely disagree.
Well, they are incredibly mediocre. So,
and by mediocre,
this is per
they're good for the East.
Reddit user Pyundai.
Oh, we have to cite our sources.
Chuck digging deep.
Mildly interesting. The
Hollinger
Bucks,
Pelton be damned.
The Bucks are currently at 500.
Is this using the Pyundai efficiency ratings?
It is. They're 17-17, 11-11 versus the East, 6-6 versus the West, 4-4 in their division, 7-7 at home, 10-10 on the road. Over the past 10 games, they are 5-5.
Who let the Bucks out?
How about this? Points scored, 3,370. Points allowed, 3,371.
So
and
many
I believe J. Kidd blows a .5 breathalyzer.
So incredibly mediocre team. Almost
well, incredible. You're like, saying mediocre, which I understand is by definition they're
50. Yeah, 50.
But I mean, they are
right.
They started.
You could even say they're really mean.
They started.
They are
math jokes.
They are. jump the median.
No, but they started off the year well and surprised people by playing well, and we thought maybe they would regress because their schedule was kind of easy, but it looks like they are going to make, they're almost assuredly going to make the playoffs if they keep it up.
Yeah.
And even after losing Jabari Parker, it still seems like, yeah, they're going to play well.
So Jason Kidd is a great coach? Question mark?
He's coaching this team really well.
A team last year that did kind of okay.
He took what he had and he fixed it.
Between this and fake spilling drinks to crew timeouts, I am pro Jason Kidd at this point.
This is
the Bucks I thought we'd see last year.
Yeah, here's the problem. You're pro Jason Kidd. I've always loved the guy from his playing days. My wife can't stand him because, you know, like the information she gathered from him.
The impropriety.
He's a wife beater. He's legally a wife beater.
The government has said that.
Yeah.
If you ever go to, there's a casino in Las Vegas that the owner of the casino walks around with a gold medal around her neck. That's Jason Kidd's gold medal from the Olympics. And I don't think it was a simple gift. I think there
Tell
might
me
be
more.
Some, I think I'm, there I'm might not... be some gambling.
Oh, really? That's really interesting.
Yeah, there's a casino wife walking around with her, you know, diamonds and pearls and an Olympic gold medal.
That's wild.
And it's Jason Kidd's.
Interesting. Also, in the last week, 2 weeks, we had the Pistons telling Josh Smith to please go away. We owe you. What, $40 million, or there's 2 years after this year at 13 per, just leave our team, which is, I want to say, unprecedented in the NBA.
Has not happened.
Yeah.
I mean, not even a like a second round draft pick, something like that.
I mean, there's things where like, they tell like an exception. Was it the Pistons themselves who told Ben Gordon to go away?
Yeah.
Or was it? Yeah, it was the Pistons.
Yeah.
So they've been making some good. They don't have buyers, but so like they told him to go away. They cut him. They were 5-23 when they cut him. Mm-hmm. They're 4-0 now.
Yeah.
They're 4-0 without him.
Andre Drummond with the slow Hoosiers clap.
Yeah, Andre Drummond is, he's a.
And another, so Stan Van Gundy cleaning up after. So Joe Dumars was
like.
We
can say Joe Dumars, yeah.
Joe Dumars was like a roommate.
Wiping up after
like
Joe Dumars.
You, yeah, you're trying to like pick a Airbnb.
Yeah.
You know? And Joe Dumars was a guy who was at the Airbnb before you. And the owner of the Airbnb was like, I can't clean the place before you get here. And you're like, oh, I don't care. Just I'll fix it when I get in.
Yeah.
And he left a mountain of dog crap in plastic bags on the bed. And now Stan Van Gundy is slowly lifting them out.
Okay. So I like this analogy.
It's a very
So in this analogy.
Stan Van Gundy.
No. I got it. I'm going farther.
Okay. Let's do it.
Further?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't
write for a living.
Don't say farther.
Okay. So who is Josh Smith in the Airbnb? So now Josh Smith ends up on the Rockets. Rockets before him were 20-7 in the very difficult West.
Uh-huh.
They're now 2-3 with him. Mm-hmm. One of those wins is the first.
Against the Grizzlies. Yeah, nightmare, but exception that proves the rule win. Where he was like 20.
His first game with the Rockets.
He was great.
He walks into someone else's house.
Yeah.
And the person living in this house is probably the leading MVP candidate, or was as of a week ago. He might have lost it because of Josh Smith. James Harden. Josh Smith walks into this person's house.
Drops a deuce.
And he's like,
floor.
Oh, I'm just going to, how about I have your bed?
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot the most shots in this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although I just got here. So that was crazy. Even though
second verse,
won.
Same as the first.
So
but not only that, I mean, you're going back. Joe Dumars, did he have $500,000 fine for leaking information to Adrian Wojnarowski of Yahoo Sports?
We just call him Wojo.
Didn't you know? Like what kind? First Joe Dumars. I mean, first Isaiah Thomas, then Joe Dumars. What did the Bad Boys Pistons backcourt do well? I mean, Bill Laimbeer, did he lead
a
WNBA team to a championship?
It's play basketball.
That's all they could do well. Everything else,
they play basketball.
They've just been
well.
Riding the coattails of their NBA playing careers to media. Well, I mean, Dumars
their
won front a championship.
Office, their front office jobs have not done. I mean, Joe Dumars won the championship amazingly, and then everything after it, bad.
Just
starting with Darko.
But even, I mean, they won the championship after drafting Darko.
Yeah.
You know, imagine if they had Chris Bosh on that team and that, or Melo or.
I mean, they won the championship.
Wade.
He doesn't care.
Say what you will, but Darko would beat all of them in a UFC-esque fighting competition.
I heard he lost.
Sambo.
He lost very quickly.
He lost, and he was like, I'm going to get back out there.
But you know what?
If you don't know, that's number two pick, Darko.
Darko Milicic
is now a
if you don't know, unsubscribe.
Like cage fighter.
Yeah. If we have to explain who Darko.
No, I wasn't saying if you don't know Darko. I was saying if you didn't know Darko was now what is he, a kickboxing? What's his official thing he's doing?
Let's just say blood sporter.
He's blood sporting. So do you think, is this just an aberration of scheduling, and will the Rockets get it together? They've made some moves. They've added Corey Brewer. They've added Josh Smith. Neither one of those guys are analytics people, which is interesting because you think of them, Dork Elvis, being so stat heavy and such the nerd. Neither one of those guys shoot the ball very well.
Yeah.
And putting Dwight Howard in the post and now having two other guys who don't shoot very well, I found it surprising, the moves. But
and Dwight has been terrible since the trade. I know it's a very small sample size.
Yeah,
but
I think
they need time.
There,
I mean, there's no. I mean, you need time.
One of the big problems with those moves is I thought Papanikolaou, although his shooting percentages are really bad,
not playing anymore either.
He looked like he was a very good player, and it looked like the kind of player that fits in seamlessly with other guys.
Yeah,
moves the ball, great passer for his position.
I think you're confusing him with Donuts Matajunas,
and then also Donuts Matajunas doesn't get minutes anymore, or he gets minutes, but. Like
he's no longer
Monta Yunus and Papanikolaou are guys who are losing playing time to these guys,
right? And you're looking at long-term development. Is Josh Smith going to end up, sticking around?
It's just a one-year contract.
Yeah, and
I think Josh Smith is the Klonopin, and Corey Brewer is the muscle relaxer to the Dork Elvis's colon.
Oh wow! Here we go.
These are the things that block him.
Opiates block up
and eventually kill him.
Do you guys remember Trainspotters?
Trainspotting.
I'm sorry. Oh God.
Everybody remembers Elvis's death, though. He died with like pounds of.
No, that was John Wayne, wasn't it?
Both of them. That's why they're the greatest American heroes.
If only Hardee's was around then.
Both died with their pants down.
Still have those guys.
Yeah, so we think the Rockets, I think they're going to get, I don't know. I'm not even sure. I'm actually interested. They looked so good. Like over a third of the season.
They've drifted to fifth.
Yeah, they've drifted to fifth. And
those numbers in the West are going to be so fluid.
It's just going to keep moving up.
If you go on a three-game like skid where you go two and two, you drop four places in the West.
Yeah, losing a game is
and then
tough.
Like losing a game and you can go 8-3 and eight and two out of 10 and not gain one game in the West.
I've been impressed.
Such a crazy
conference. With the West, I've been really impressed. Portland started off really strong. And I thought they had a lot of home games.
Look,
and then they've kept playing at an incredible level. Joel Freeland is playing some ball.
Shout out Joel Freeland.
He's knows. I texted with a Portland friend.
It's easy to make. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and he was just. I asked him about Joel Freeland. I said, right. Hey, is Joel Freeland balling? And he said, this guy knows his role. He knows his role. Comes in rebounds and like. And I was he's been impressive, and it's good for them.
He's the new Robin Lopez.
Yeah,
Lopez. Excuse me.
Lopez.
I know you guys. Short-sold when I brought up they fall into fifth in the standings, but in Hollinger Power Rankings, they've gone from first to 13th the Josh Smith trade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not nothing. Yeah. It's the exact opposite of how people are responding to the Rondo trade, where they've gone up in the power rankings and in the real rankings.
Yeah.
He's hurting them, and it's not just him. It's also Corey.
I think it's for now. You have these two players, and you've
true.
You've
there's an adjustment period.
You have to adjust. I mean, yeah. It's just
it wasn't like the Rondo trade where you just stick Rondo in Jameer Nelson's role.
Right,
right.
And then that's a lot easier.
People are relearning roles, and you see times where the Rockets are swinging the ball and they're just throwing it out of bounds, and that's stuff that will not happen like that.
Howard is way out of whack. They will Donuts doesn't know what to do without the ball in his hands.
Yeah,
at all.
Yeah.
So they're really struggling.
So the Mavs have looked pretty good. I don't think the jury is still officially. I mean, the jury's out for all these things.
Right.
They had a real good win against the Wizards, but the Wizards, I believe, were on the second night of a back to back.
And the Wizards are slumping right now.
Slumping a little. They played really. They played a great game. Wizards Thunder was on Friday night. And the Wizards actually looked really good, but Kevin Durant was transcendent. He said, don't worry, I got this.
Oh, you know. He got 40 on it.
Yeah, so in the Thunder, who are still in 10th because other teams are winning.
That's an illusion.
Yeah, yeah. But still, New Orleans is they just, again, creamed the Rockets that we're talking about. The Suns have finally started winning some games.
Yeah.
They're playing Gerald Green a little bit less, which I think is good.
Question mark?
I mean, I think they need to hitch your wagon to Dragic and Bledsoe. That's how I feel.
How cool is it that two pairs of brothers played for the same team at the same
Zoran
time?
Oh, Zoran scored a bucket.
Yeah.
Zoran
and shout out to everybody. And Markieff and Maurice.
And if you haven't seen Goran fake. And Zoran played Papa Shot.
Yeah.
Like at a, you know, like a is it pizza crazy? Alley. It's actually, they're actually very mediocre at it.
Are they?
Goran beats them just barely.
Also, if you haven't seen Goran and Zoran, you can identify them, but they have scars on opposite sides of their faces.
I didn't know that.
Or maybe that's Tomax and Zamot from G.I. Joe the cartoon.
Easy.
That's a good one.
It's really not.
All right. So those are our scattered, covered, smeller thoughts. There's a whole bunch of basketball. Luckily, next week we'll only have like 5 days to go over, and we can
so much basketball.
We can focus it. Although we were wondering, this might be, we weren't really going to do it, but we were talking earlier before we started recording. This might be Chuck's turkey bacon conspiracy theory of the week
of the millennium.
But update.
I don't
right?
want to. I mean, part of me doesn't want to talk about this because it may taint some of the accomplishments of the Miami Heat over the past 4 years. However.
Come on, Chuck.
I'd like to just mention.
You're a journalist.
I'd like to just mention that LeBron James has not missed any games.
Seven games is the most he's ever missed.
Ever missed in one season. And he is now out for 2 weeks.
I've heard as many as six.
Could be up to six.
What is that?
So you ask yourself, how does a player move just teams and then have a precipitous drop in efficiency? I mean, he was about as efficient as a player could be. He was shooting in the 60s for a wing player.
Can we have some backstory first? What was the old conspiracy theory?
The old conspiracy theory was that LeBron James was on Jaguar
hormones.
Yeah. Not even human growth
hormone. Not even human growth hormone. It was Jaguar hormone that he got from the biogenesis guy.
What was his name? From Vincent Big Pussy Buonaconte?
Yeah, it was Nick Buonaconte. Yeah, the guy who's
the Dolphins middle linebacker.
The one who's I think crippled now. I think he's in a wheelchair. Or his son is. I don't know.
Move on.
Anyway, so LeBron pissed off the biogenesis guy that sold A-Rod his drugs when he left Miami and went to Cleveland. Coupled with that, the Adam Silver comes in and cracks down on HGH like Lieutenant Daniels in The Wire. And next thing you know, LeBron
Jaguar Hamsterdam.
I was just thinking, if any team was Hamsterdam, what team would it be?
It would definitely be the Philadelphia 76ers. That is.
But they're getting just, no benefits.
They're just row houses.
Okay, all right. That's all with dead bodies burned right, up
it's
inside.
All right.
Hollis Thompson's behind the wall.
Yeah.
Just nailing the plywood over.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Brandon Jennings is Snoop, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wallace! Where's Wallace String?
Yeah. Tony Roden's Omar Stanfield.
Yeah, if you aren't current on the NBA and HBO programming,
we might
be losing you. But
anyway, yeah. Look, we're going to turn all this around. So LeBron basically played his hand a little too loose, took a bunch of growth hormones, became the greatest player statistically probably in basketball past few years. Then left and now sucks. So I think this all just solidifies my conspiracy from earlier episode, maybe two after our, one, our first episode after our over-unders.
Number three.
Yeah. So
producer Keith bringing the canal.
That's good. So that is, that's just
an update.
So that'll be, that's Chuck's turkey bacon conspiracy of the week update.
Of the week.
That's good. All right, so let's get out of here. This is our par fadeaway, our closing thoughts, our things to look forward to. What do we have? Anything going on this week?
Let's all keep a close eye on the Pelicans.
In what way?
Let's see if
Jimmer and Luke and Austin Rivers can keep sharing the court at the same time. Defies logic.
Monty Williams is out of his mind. Never mind his sartorial splendor.
He's terrible.
He is a fool, but Anthony Davis is kind of single-handedly willing them to a very unlikely playoff spot. I don't know if they can do it.
I don't think they can.
But
it's really hard to miss the playoffs with the third best player in the NBA.
And that's the Monty Williams effect.
Oh, well, you know what I think?
Who?
That's Monty Ball.
My problem, and the thing I'm looking
Monty.
For...
Regard Monty.
That, oh, wow.
Oh, that's a good one. Write that down. Yeah, has anyone done that yet?
I don't think so.
let's sell that to CBS Sports.
We gotta give it to
Bleacher Report. Bleacher what Report. Up?
So, the Pelicans. I even forgot what we were talking about now.
I don't remember.
I just want to watch them. I want to watch and see if it can be done.
It's interesting. I mean, but there's no one that can fall out in the West. I mean, that eighth spot, the Clippers are in. I mean,
the Suns certainly can.
Yeah, yeah. So we assume the Thunder are going to take the Suns are in eighth. We assume the Thunder are going to take them. Right now, Thunder 10, Pelicans 9, Suns 8. In 7 is the Spurs.
Who are just toying.
Yeah, they're just goofing around.
Playing with their food.
So, but Spurs, Clippers, Rockets, Mavs, Grizz, Trailblazers, Warriors, those guys are in.
We've seen the Blazers do this before. Can they fall this far?
I don't think they can fall. I don't know.
No, the Blazers are very good.
They're very good.
Yeah, the Pelicans aren't
good. Dame Lillard's playing offense out of his brain.
Right.
And his defense has improved.
It's improved. He's not a total.
He's no longer a sieve.
A total minus, but yeah.
Yeah, the Pelicans can't do it.
When you play offense that well,
I'm gonna be apologizing for this next week.
Well, I mean, again, they're just If they get anything from their shooters, if Tyreek hits shots and if David Anderson is on, I mean, they win because, you know, the brow is that good.
Maybe after Kobe's foul gate, he'll sit out a few games and the Lakers will win a few games.
He'll rest it up. And are we going to see the end of Carmelo?
I don't think so. He says he's going to play through
They're talking about, there's shutting like all kinds of reports about shutting him down.
They've been saying that for weeks, though.
The Knicks got just run by the Pistons.
Yeah.
Granted, Josh Smith was not on the team.
Pistons are good now.
The Pistons are like the sixth best team in the East now.
I'm not giving up on my over 34 wins for the Pistons.
Yeah. I kind of called them
preseason
over too.
Bet.
Wasn't that kind of the thing?
I was the only under.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because everyone was so into Stan Van.
Yeah.
But it looks like it's true. They got rid of Josh Smith, and now it's like, oh, how is he doing it with these guys?
Yeah.
You're like, well, that's Stan Van.
Andre Drummond has been nigh unstoppable.
He's been playing good.
He's a maniac.
He's been playing good.
And I got him for a penny.
Yeah. How about your conspiracy theory?
Fantasy
you
light.
You traded LeBron to me.
Buzzer. Fantasy light. Guys, take it to a bar.
We might just do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So I think that probably wraps us up. It's good to get back in the saddle. We are going to talk after the break with the Grizzlies epilogue. We're going to do some. So Grizzlies fans, stick around for that. For everybody else, for Chuck, for John, for myself. Thanks for listening.
And remember, breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
All right, welcome to the Grizzlies epilogue.
Or should it be epitaph?
I mean, either way.
Or epigram.
You could just be saying...
They're synonyms, but some of them have more like morbid connotations.
Yeah, I think like epitaph.
Although, you know what?
Epithet?
There's an epithet.
I should be the one. Yeah, so they played a lot of games. And so when we left you before Christmas, they just won back-to-back games over the Spurs and Warriors. And we said, I believe John pointed out, this is the high point.
And we warned you.
Yeah, we warned you. So then came a losing streak.
Because Zach got some water on his knee like Granny used to.
Yeah, so the Grizzlies are, as we said in our preseason podcast, ill-equipped to deal with an injury to point guard or power. Actually, point guard now, it seems like we could manage for a few games.
Bano's been on fire.
But we said we are ill-equipped to handle an injury to the front court, especially to a power forward, because we do not have a backup power forward who can play starters minutes.
I know that people can point to Lewis stats and say, look at how good he has been. He is an inefficient fool.
Here's the thing. I haven't come across a single person, even combing through Twitter for the depraved minds of Memphis Grizzlies fans. No one thinks John Lure has the stats that can handle it.
My Twitter feed is different than yours. Your Twitter feed is filled with knowledgeable basketball fans. My Twitter feed is filled with people who look at fantasy basketball scores and think John Lure is something to behold.
I will not say that. The Fast Break Breakfast Twitter feed, here's how I handle Twitter.
Break it down.
I assume everyone who tweets something that I think is ridiculous is 13, and it helps.
So Chris Harrington's 13.
So I see a lot of people.
I'm just kidding, Chris. Yeah. I love Chris Harrington.
Actually, Chris Harrington is a great evaluator.
Chris
Harrington is
like the Bizarro World Universe version of me, except that doesn't make sense because we like all the same stuff.
It's true.
Although I did like Boyhood, that movie. First one. First bleep.
First curse. It's not even talking about basketball.
What talking about Boyhood.
What in the world? All right. So the Bulls lost the first. So they played the Bulls at home. They lost. It was very disappointing. But it's a game where.
Not just a loss.
Tony Allen, Z-Bo did not play. Those are two of our four must-haves.
Not just a loss. Yeah. That is the game that exemplifies. Everyone is talking about the Randolph injury as if it's the great big loss. When Tony Allen doesn't play, we are very susceptible.
It's trouble.
To penetration.
It's trouble, yeah.
Extremely.
So
we used to be great at the... I guess, actually, maybe this is a better way of putting it. The Tony Allen-Z-Bo combo is brutal. Because...
It's like the heart. It's the grit grind.
Yeah.
Those are the two... The
rotation from Lure and even Kufus, who I'm a huge Kufus fan, is so poor. And you can see it on Mark the Shark's face. When they fail horribly on that rotation, when in this case it was Jimmy Butler either just getting the hoop at will or hitting the wide open three, You can see it. It's palpable.
Jimmy Butler torched the Grizzlies.
31 points.
Also, that game was the Mirotic. Can't ever remember.
Who has since gone dead stone cold.
Well, that's because Taj Gibson came back, and then Tibbs,
you know what,
does his inner Lionel Hollins.
And Mirotic is better.
Pulls the guy out.
I don't care if he's a sieve on defense. That guy,
Taj
Nikola
Gibson's
Mirotic,
so good, too.
Yeah, but Nikola Mirotic is like, you give that guy minutes, he's like 25 points a game. Well, he's a monster.
I think you're looking through the Grizzlies beatdown glasses on that one. He's good.
He was
unbelievable in the Grizzlies game.
Right. But he's so good.
A lot of it was he's open.
Yes.
You just can't. We can't guard him.
Who was guarding him that game? It was John Lewis.
Well, and Zach Randolph. I mean, again, that was
not in that game.
Oh no, Zach did play that game.
He didn't guard Mirotic.
Okay. Well,
much.
So then after that game, they follow that up with a vaguely predictable loss, a Sunday afternoon loss to the Cavs.
I didn't see it like that, though. I was stunned by that. I was stunned by a 14-point deficit.
Yeah, I mean, it was a surprise. I don't know. I had such low expectations coming in, and they came out flat, and they could never get their footing in that game.
Right.
And that's the one where when the Grizzlies start Tayshaun and John Lure, Tayshaun, who I think should be eligible for most improved player.
You're so weird.
Tayshaun's been so good.
You're so weird.
He's won so many games.
2 points in this game that you're originally.
No. He was bad in this game, and starting him and Lure together, the offense just bogs down, and it was tough to watch.
This was one of the rare, and there's two in this. By the way, this is a very telling thing. This slump has two Mike Conley no-shows, and this is one of them.
Right.
When Mike Conley is a -8 with 11 points and 5 assists, and 2 of those assists were bunk, by the way.
And Courtney Lee couldn't do anything.
Man, Courtney Lee's very important to this offense. Extremely important.
It's true.
And this was a game, like we can't have all of our guards play like that. That's a Conley. To simplify, that was a Conley-Courtney Lee being over.
And this was a game where we actually saw things got so poor that coach was like, Jarnell, Jordan, get in there.
JJ.
And again, for those people who struggle watching some of the lineups that include John Lure being outmatched, so far we've seen nothing that dissuades us from wanting to see more. Does that send us too confusing of
No. Of
Jarnell and Jordan Adams?
I think you achieved the elusive triple negative.
Yeah. So what we've seen from Jarnell and Jordan Adams is still like, I wouldn't mind seeing a little more of that.
All right.
Thank you, please.
The next game, which was a demoralizing loss, I like to refer to as the Alec Burks farewell game.
Fare thee well game. And it's a weird situation where the Grizzlies put together this. So this was game 3 of a 3-game losing streak.
Ugh.
It grew to 4. And I was trying to explain to people. I explained to my wife's grandmother. She's like, should we be worried about the Grizzlies? This is the little Christmas Day talk.
Is she from Memphis?
No, lives in Knoxville.
Why does she even care?
Because the woman likes to watch some TV, and it comes on her TV.
Look, she has the Lady Vols.
Yeah. Well, so she actually, honestly, she
probably knows
TV.
More about basketball than us.
She likes Zeebo. But anyway, she was like, should we be worried? And I was explaining to her.
Zeebo kind of is like Pat Summit.
The Jazz loss was the 5th game in 7 days. And on a team without Zeebo and Tony Allen, that was going to be a problem. And the Grizzlies are an old team. So honestly, they have the big athletic front court.
Yeah, I was about to say, without Zeebo, we don't have the front court to match up with Favors, Kantner, or I don't even know.
Yeah.
And Rudy Kanter. Gobert.
Yeah.
And Rudy, although Rudy Gobert,
he was good.
He only scored 2 points, but if he was in, we could not score. We couldn't score.
It was reminiscent of games last year against the Pelicans where Anthony Davis just owned Zeebo and Mark and everything they did.
Or the Collison Adams lineups against the Thunder where it's just like, well, we can't score for an entire quarter.
Right. So they couldn't. So that game didn't bother me. Again, it was the first home loss against a bad team. And so the Grizzlies are kind of faltering, and that takes us to the big Houston game, which again,
I'm throwing this one out. Josh Smith miracle performance. I'm throwing it out.
I was trying to tell people how like the Grizzlies have lost 4 games in a row and it doesn't bug me. Like I felt like they had good moments in every game. Every game it was easily explainable. Like you're like, "Oh, well we have John Lure starting. He's not a starting player." Mm-hmm. I maintain one of my big issues with him, which I, again, to be clear, I like him as the 10th guy. I think he's a good, he's paid as like a 10th or 11th player. He's fine to come in.
He's like our seventh man right
good,
now.
Good teams, which the Grizzlies are one of, when you have
allegedly,
when you have a bench player come in, this is what your response should be. That guy could start on, in you know, insert some other team.
Grizzlies don't have any of those players.
John Lure could not start on a single NBA team.
We don't have any of them.
I mean, Kostic could start on some teams. There's a lot of teams.
Only because of the deficiency around the league.
But that's
he could start on the Cavs.
Like
maybe.
The Cavs, the Heat, the Knicks.
I don't think Kostic. I think I'd rather have
Suns. I think the Suns would take him, although Alex Lynn's
good.
Looking good.
Yeah, Alex Lynn's good. So I'd refute. But this is the weirdest game ever. The two best players in this game for the Rockets were the two new acquisitions. Corey Brewer had like 13 points, 15 points.
The Grizzlies, James Harden was the best. But yes, this game was lost because Corey Brewer hit two crazy threes, and he's a terrible three-point shooter.
Oh, I'm pulling up now. Yeah, Corey Brewer, 13 points, 3-for-5 from downtown.
Yeah, I mean, but also this was a game where
Josh Smith made free throws.
No, this game's funny. So if you listen to the local broadcasts, if you're one of those hearing Pete Pranica and either Brevin Knight.
This wasn't a Brevin game. I wish it had.
It was
been.
A Sean Tuohy. Pete Pranica will always point out when a team's come in and they're hitting three-pointers.
Right.
He'll say something. It's kind of like a woe is us. These teams don't shoot well, but now they're killing the Grizzlies on a three-pointer. Well, it's because these shots are wide open.
Right.
These three-point shots are wide open. My darkest moment of the Rockets game was where Donuts caught it on the elbow, and we doubled off of Jason Terry in the corner to Monte Unis. And I was like, why would you double off? And like, they kept making these mental mistakes.
Yeah, where Jason Terry only hit threes in that game.
Yeah, where like they would leave these guys open in the corners. But honestly, the Grizzlies offense played well in that game. I mean, again, Mike Conley and Courtney Lee were no-shows shooting, but I felt like all the shots were the right shots. And again, they're one play at the end from winning it, and they lost in overtime. So, I mean,
wasted one of the best Gasol games, although it was a bit of a misnomer because Gasol, for all of his potency on the boards, none of those boards were offensive rebounds. Yeah. None of them. No. Which is another thing. Gasol drifts with a guy like Josh Smith out there where Gasol's big on help defending. He drifted too much. And I think that's something that Zach's return should help with, because Zach is a great help defender on the perimeter, on the stretch fours. He's never lazy on getting out to them.
Right. He tries. It's not optimal.
Right. And Gasol, if we can keep him in on the he's great at the quick shift, the quick move off of the pick and roll. Getting out to a guy and then getting back for the rebound, not his best. And then on offense rebound, he's mostly, in that game especially, taking a shot from about 15 feet away.
And that also, we've been in a great stretch of Tayshaun performances, and that actually was a game where Tayshaun offensively didn't do it. They were leaving him open, and he wasn't hitting. He rebounded really well that game.
That is so funny. Okay, I was about to say, that is so funny to me that you said that as Earthworm Jim's number one defender.
Yes.
To me, that was Tayshaun's best game, because Tayshaun was the only player on the entire Grizz that crashed the offensive boards.
He was rebounding.
And I don't know how many he had, but he had lots of offensive rebounds when no one else had any.
It's true. So, I mean, I saw him getting praised for his for his work in that game.
Yeah.
But he was such the minus on offense in a game where it felt like where Mike and it probably was an effect of both Mike and Courtney not hitting shots.
That's
like,
just what Tayshaun has become. You just have to, people like me have to lessen our expectations for Tayshaun and just accept the things he's great at.
That's what I get. He's shooting like 50% threes on the year.
Yeah, but that's insane and unsustainable.
It is. He makes such good plays.
He is an excellent defender at this point in time. And if we can just make it so that he's not in so much that teams can game plan for us, he's a valuable player. He's a valuable cog. This is me saying, I'm sorry, Keith. This is my breakfast. I've said it many times.
I wish the Grizzlies bench was better, but I said it before the season. I've said it over and over and over.
I would love for
these guys are not better than Tayshaun. I would love for us to get a player who's better than Tayshaun.
I would love for us to have players that were better than Tayshaun. I would love for us to have players like James Johnson playing over Tayshaun, who can do what Tayshaun does, but also add some offensive spark.
Toronto Raptors, side note.
Yeah, oh no.
James Johnson kind of weirdly not much in the rotation in the last game, and they got waxed. So I guess by the Warriors, but
James Johnson must not be good at running plays. That's all I can think of because he is good at playing basketball.
It's true. Oh, also our friends to the north. I don't know if you've seen this. They've produced a show about the Raptors, Open Gym.
No, I haven't.
It's like Hard Knocks on HBO, but not terrible.
Say what?
Yeah, it's awesome. Like, they have a behind-the-scenes show on the Raptors.
Beg pardon.
And, yeah, I've watched two episodes. I watched the James Johnson episode, of course, because I have a crush on that man.
Yes.
And
you're a neck tattoo guy from way back.
Yeah. And then I watched the next one about Caboclo? I feel like there's a silent...
Oh, Bruno Caboclo.
I feel like there's a silent C in there, right?
Can we just call him Bruno C?
Yeah, so Bruno C, it was one about... It showed them in the war room. It was really interesting. Bruno? Bruno? They did that. They're asking Stauskas. Questions. Yeah. So then an important event happened during the Miami Heat Memphis Grizzlies game. Mm-hmm. The Fast Break Breakfast crew watched basketball for the first time ever together.
Sorta. You left really early.
No. I watched a good two quarters. I mean, I DVR'd the game, but I watched two quarters with you. It was the first time we'd ever seen a game together.
It was true.
But anyway, that was the 2003 All-Star Reunion game.
Yeah. We spent the entire time arguing about top five shooting guards.
Yeah. I mean, we had like Vince
Chuck
and
won the argument. Chuck won the argument.
Granger and Dwayne Wade.
I think there was a, I think I even like tried to like say some centers played shooting guard.
I don't know.
I was at a loss.
It's true. And again, that was a weird game where like you just thought the Grizzlies weren't giving the effort. They were getting killed.
Miami sucks.
They shot 51%. The Grizzlies keep giving up. They keep, I mean, you do like it as a Grizzlies fan, sort of. You're like, why are we giving up teams shooting 50% all the time? But the Grizzlies keep winning. So it's like, all right, yeah.
Miami sucks. If Tony Allen plays in that game, Dwayne Wade has like 12 points and win by like 35.
Yep.
And that was like the Granger game where he was just on fire, scored like 20 points, all like just miracle shots.
Yeah. So the Heat game, I don't even like it. I don't want to think about it anymore. Glad they won, and they ended the losing streak.
We beat them at their hottest.
So, because then if they'd lost that game, it would have been taking a five-game losing streak into the Spurs game, which would have been more pressure than they needed. The Spurs game, the Grizzlies came out awesome.
Let's refer to this as the Mike Conley game.
Mike Conley, pure all-star version. Also, this is all you got to say is this is two in a row over the Spurs.
How much did it hurt you when Conley missed that desperation three at the end of the first quarter when he would have had the perfect first quarter?
Oh, yeah, he would have a perfect first quarter. No, it didn't hurt me at all. I was happy for it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That goes back
Pablo Prigioni hit a full court shot after the buzzer because he doesn't care about winning.
It goes back to your team versus individual stats. But I was a little sad.
This is a game where Splitter was just pulled Lure's pants down and just did wrong things to him. And then
they played more Splitter in this game, it may have been a different game.
Yeah, and it was great because Lure got in foul trouble really quick, and we got to see some first quarter Jarnell. I was pretty excited about that. And he seemed fine. I mean, he still seems so short. He seems so tiny.
Jarnell.
So tiny.
Big body.
Yeah, he's pushing people around.
Told you, he's Barkley-esque.
So again, that was a good, that was a better defensive game. And again, the Grizzlies pretty much went wire to wire.
Yeah, I'd like to thank Greg Popovich for only playing Chago 13 minutes. I'd like to thank Greg Popovich for not realizing that Duncan was getting his lunch handed to him. -9 for Duncan that game. Second worst player on the team, according to plus minus. That was, although he didn't have the statistical game that Conley had, that was a very good Mark the Shark game.
It was.
He dominated the boards.
And that's what you have to have. With no Z-Bo, Mark and Mike, they've been taking it on themselves, and they've pretty much done it.
I think Mark may have led the team in assists that game. He was very on point with passing. It was either Mark or Conley. But it wasn't a big Conley. Conley filled the scoring role, which really Conley needs to do that more with Z-Bo out.
Yep.
Because we don't really have a lot of options. I think the third highest scorer was like Earthworm Jim or something.
What are we at?
Look it up. Hold on.
Yeah, no, Tayshaun had 12. Only three guys in double digits.
Wow.
Conley with 30.
How did we win
Gasol
that?
Gasol with 17. Tayshaun with 12. We won because the Spurs went 5-for-22 from deep.
And I love that.
We love it. So then
that brings us good defense.
Brings us to Friday night where the Grizzlies, lackadaisical effort all the way. Ed Davis revenge game, just crushing on John Lure.
Ed Davis revenge game, but he missed a free throw at the end. So in your face, Ed Davis.
I thought he made. Did he make them both? He missed one.
He missed two one. Lose.
That's true. He's not a good shooter. In your face. No. Yeah, and that was a good game. Also, we should say because we've been punching bag John Lure all the last 20 minutes. Typical punching bag favorite, Quincy Pondexter, had a handful of decent games.
He really did.
He played well against the Lakers in defense. He still can't hit a three, although he did hit a above the break three. I want to say his second of the year.
This was really all about, to me, this was about Beno Udrih's 16 points and 16
points. Beno Udrih is leading. He's first in the NBA in mid-range jumpers shooting percentage. That's amazing.
And unsustainable.
He's hitting like, 52%. I think he can hit high 49, 50 from those 16 to 19.
He borrowed some of Courtney Lee's Kentucky coconut water.
He can't hit a three either. Can't hit a shot. It's crazy. And Vince Carter's been frigid, although showing up big in big games, frigid.
That was one of the most fun Tony Allen trick-or-treat performances ever.
Oh my gosh. We had Pantheon-level trick.
Yes.
Four layups. Missed four layups in one possession.
Has there ever been a player who is so simultaneously smart and stupid as Tony Allen?
No. The answer is no.
Although sometimes he seems like he's smart, but his hands don't cooperate. He's the worst layup player ever.
Although it is funny. Here's a sign if a player you like is bad at defense. If in the first quarter Tony Allen drives directly at him, that means he's bad at defense. So Kobe Bryant, you've been alerted. You're on Tony Allen's list of like, this is one of our best plays. I'm going to drive directly at my defender. And it pretty much worked except for Tony couldn't hit a layup.
Okay, the hall monitor has come in. Chuck has come in.
What the hell, guys? How long are you going to talk Grizzlies?
We're just talking the Heat game.
We have to bid adieu.
I must let you know he is dressed terrifyingly head to toe in camouflage.
He's racist.
Frightening. What is that?
It's raining. This is Gore-Tex.
This does not look like anyone I've ever met from
Miami.
He's
dressed like a Grand Dragon.
All right, so thanks for listening. We'll be back in a week. You guys have a good one.
Nerd out about this Grizzly stuff.